Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob here, getting ready to do our Amazing Race wrap-up show with Jessica Leese after episode 7 of Amazing Race 25. And there was another close shave at the finish line, which reminds me of our sponsor for this podcast tonight, the Dollar Shave Club, because really, is there anything worse than buying razors? You got to remember that you need them in the first place. You got to sit in traffic to get to the store, or you can't get a taxi to take you to the store like you're Rob and Brooke, and you find that they're locked in these plastic fortresses that they keep them in. And then you got to find somebody with the key, and he's in the back texting his girlfriend. And after that, it still costs $25. So don't do that anymore. Join the Dollar Shave Club, because for a few bucks a month, Dollar Shave Club delivers great razors right to your door. Dollar Shave Club is much smarter than going to the store, and their plans start at just $3 a month. So sign up once, it takes just 2 minutes, and then just sit back and the blades arrive like clockwork. You can shave with a fresh blade every week. No membership fee, no commitment, and they have a money-back guarantee. So you got nothing to lose by trying them out. So stop trudging to the store for overpriced razors. Join the dollarshaveclub.com/RHAP. That's dollarshaveclub.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who painted on nipples just for this special occasion. I'm Rob Cesternino, and here with me as always to recap every week's episode of The Amazing Race, here is the great Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you?
Oh, very good. Very good. A very fun episode of The Amazing Race. You know, I don't like the non-elimination leg, but other than that, I thought this was a pretty exciting night.
Yeah, if it's going to be a non-elimination leg, at least they can make it a fun one.
Yeah. Fun season, fun night, good, like all these teams in the final six here. Lots of intrigue, thought it could have gone a couple different ways. Racing through Sicily tonight, correct?
Yep, Sicily.
Yes.
Palermo, Sicily.
Palermo, we had painting, we had racing, we had opera singing, we had it all.
We had it all and then some.
And then some. Okay, so we'll recap everything from tonight. Very, very fun night. Of course, Tim and TJ saved by the non-elimination leg. So no exit interview this upcoming week. And then, Jess, there's some updates to the Amazing Race schedule coming up, right?
Yeah, no exit interview next week either.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, because there is no Amazing Race next week. And I'm very sad about that.
Are you making big plans for a 3-day weekend, Jess?
Maybe.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, so we'll have a little bit of like a, it's almost like the all-star break of the Amazing Race season, like halfway through, a little more than halfway through. So it is no Amazing Race recap this upcoming Friday, and then we'll pick it back up. Are they doing an episode also the Friday after Thanksgiving?
I believe so. I haven't heard otherwise.
Okay. Because the schedule came out for the finale, and the Survivor finale is going to be coming up Wednesday, December 17th. And then the Amazing Race finale is going to be Friday, December 19th. So for the first time that I can remember, the Amazing Race finale is going to be after the Survivor finale.
Yeah, well, they're not bumping them both to Sunday anymore. Apparently, Sunday is off limits for the reality shows now.
Yeah, but typically it used to be that the Amazing Race had a shorter season. It would like start maybe like after Survivor, and then it would end the week before Survivor.
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell if it's going to be a 2-hour finale or a 1-hour finale. So I think that is also kind of that determines the length of the season.
Yeah. Okay. I think it seems like it's going to be a 1-hour finale because we still have like a ways to go to get to that December 19th date, but that's to worry about in the future. Also coming up in the spring, Jess, Amazing Race 26 will be back and it will share a premiere night with Survivor.
So that's going to be a rough night for you, Rob.
It's going to be a rough night for me. I think that we'll probably end up doing the Amazing, depending on which airs first. I think we'll probably end up doing the Amazing Race recap for the season 26 premiere a different night. But it will be a very busy week, the last week of February.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Okay.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, though. We need to talk about leg number 300.
Leg number 300. Now, is this episode number 300?
I don't believe so, because some episodes, I'm not sure exactly how they did the math, and we actually there's a couple of people that love to get really, really granular with the numbers that have informed me that they don't think this is actually leg 300, similar to how we weren't entirely sure that was podcast number 1000.
I thought that's what you're going to say. Yes. Yeah,
but it depends on, like, some episodes encompass two legs, and some technically, if it's the first half of a super leg, is that a leg or is that half a leg? So I don't know. They've arrived at 300 somehow, and so tonight was the 300th leg of the Amazing Race.
Okay, there you go. Of course, Jess referencing the 1,000th episode of Rob is a Podcast, which you can listen to on robhasawebsite.com. And also, you can listen to all of the episodes of Rob Has a Podcast on the new Rob Has a Podcast app, which is available for iOS devices in the iTunes store. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/app or click the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Jess, I know you were busy playing with the app yourself this week.
I was. There's a whole suite of buttons. They make llama noises.
Very good. Very good. So we are here live tonight on robhasawebsite.com. We've got a lot of people here watching us live in the chat room on robhasawebsite.com. Plus, Scott St. Pierre is always monitoring your Twitter. Well, I guess not always. He's not like spying on you or anything like that. But when we do the shows, he certainly is monitoring your Twitter if you use the hashtag RHAP. And then on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All right, let's talk through some of these headlines tonight. I think that we really got to see the solidification of a great rivalry in the making here, Jess, between the cyclists and the dentists.
Yes, it's a battle of the ists.
Yes, yes, battle of the ists. Now,
get Jess, the scientists in on that, and it's going to be like battle royale.
Battle royale. Jess, could you give us just a run through? Give me like the Mount Rushmore of Amazing Race in season rivalries, like two really great teams that are taking on each other. We tried to get into this a little bit in the Survivor podcast this week with Josh versus Jeremy, and both those sides, gearing up for what could be a really good rivalry. Well, what are the top in season rivalries?
Well, the one that comes to mind immediately has got to be Art and JJ versus Rachel and Dave.
Yes. 20. Yes. Very good.
That's one where they were always kind of at each other's throats in kind of a sporting way.
Yeah.
But there's two kinds of rivalries. There's the one where they all kind of make each other better and they're all striving hard to get all the first places. And then there's the ones where the people just flat out hate each other. But I think we're talking more of the former here. And I think we can also go back to, I believe it was season 9 had one of those rivalries between Eric and Jeremy and BJ and Tyler were all back and forth. I think both of those teams dominated every single leg of the race. I don't think anybody else even got a first place on that season.
Well, this is really, really fun developing between the dentist and the cyclist because they're both neck and neck going back and forth, trading first places here, seemingly week after week. And there's a little bit of animosity between these teams.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's good natured animosity. Like, I don't think anybody is secretly thinking, oh, these guys are terrible and I want to kick their asses. It's more like these guys are competitive. It's going to be fun if we beat them.
Yeah, it was very, very fun. I especially liked it when the cyclists were riding on the car, how Jim and Misty are team no fun.
Yeah, well, I think if we're ranking everybody in terms of how much fun they're having, Jim and Misty may be at the bottom, but I don't think that precludes them from having fun.
Yeah.
They seem like they're enjoying themselves. And, you know, Misty is sparkling.
Yes, very much so. Yes. Glistening. Sparkle. Glistening even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll talk about that tonight more, the Jim and Misty versus Kim and Allie rivalry. We had the non-elimination of Tim and TJ. Jess, first off, did you see the non-elimination coming?
It was about that time. It was getting to be about the time where we have that.
No, I was thinking about that too, because I felt like if they didn't do the non-elimination here, I'm like, okay, well now they're going to be down to 5. And what are we going to have, like two non-eliminations between the final 5 and the final 3?
Well, it's a non-elimination and a save or something.
Yes. Oh, the save could be a factor here.
It could be like it could. Rob, it's possible you're not getting any exit interviews for an entire month.
For a month. Because just to look at the calendar real quick. So today's November 7th. if we're saying that the finale, there's no episode next week, and then the finale is on the 19th, so that puts an episode potentially the 21st, the 28th, that's the Friday after Thanksgiving here in America, and then the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th. So potentially five more episodes. This was episode 7, Jess. Does that jive for you that we'll have a 12-episode season?
Yeah, 12 episodes is about how many we get.
Okay. I felt like it typically was 11 episodes.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like it's 11 episodes and the last episode is two legs.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. So Tim and TJ are the team that ultimately gets saved by the non-elimination. Did you feel like Tim and TJ really foobarred this leg?
I think I can't point to one thing that they did wrong that was the difference between them, you know, getting non-eliminated and getting non-eliminated, but they just kind of bled time the entire time.
Yeah.
Just felt like they weren't quite up snuff with everybody else this week.
Okay. Let's talk through some of this leg. And so, very funny in the beginning of the episode. I thought this might have been Robbie and Brooke's best episode, even though it might have not been their best episode racing. I thought they were both very, very funny and interesting in this episode.
Yeah, and they were both in a good mood. Like, we've seen a lot of Brooke like just kind of wailing pitifully throughout every task that she does, and this time she was in a great mood.
Yeah. Robbie was bummed out, but he wasn't going to be thinking about tweeting or Instagramming or Facebook or working out or any of those things.
Yeah, or eyebrows. Or
eyebrow threading. Yeah, right. What?
Or lamenting the loss of his half ab.
Yes, yes. He's lost half an ab, which I don't think I've ever even had half an ab.
Yeah, I think is half an ab just an ab?
I guess so. Yeah, he's down to only 7.5 abs at this point.
Oh, that is a hard knock life indeed.
Yeah. Okay. And we got a lot about the cyclist versus Jim and Misty. Now, it was mostly from the cyclists talking about how Jim and Misty feel about them. Did you catch that at all? Do you feel like Jim and Misty actually do have animosity towards the cyclists?
I think the way that Jim and Misty are probably reads as animosity sometimes just because they're so focused on beating everybody else.
Yeah.
I think yeah. I don't think they hate anybody. I think they're too far up in their own heads to really have an opinion on everybody else. Just like, you know, second place is the first loser.
For a guy with a $1 million smile, I think that Jim does kind of have resting mean face.
He does. My thought, and I tweeted about this earlier, but it reminds me a lot of the captain on How I Met Your Mother, where he had like the bottom half of his face was smiling and the top half of his face was murdery.
Whoa. Captain reference.
Yeah. Captain reference.
Yeah. You know, I spoke with the most recently eliminated team in the exit interview this past week. Did you catch that interview, Jess?
Of course I caught that interview. Okay. They were wonderful.
Well, it was
was wonderful.
Yeah. So I was supposed to speak with Shelly and Niecy. Niecy couldn't be there, so it was just Shelly. And she was very nice, Shelly. But she was saying that apparently that she's upset about some of the things that people have been saying on social media. And, you know, it sort of bummed her out. And she said that Jim has been very supportive.
Yeah, with Jim, I think Jim probably takes a lot of social media abuse because there's a lot of people out on the internet, and I know this is going to shock you, Rob. There's a lot of people out on the internet that kind of don't read anything other than what's literally being said. And so they don't quite catch that, you know, Jim is very good natured. He's not actually out to murder everybody. Or, you know, they might catch that someone is making a joke. They might not think that they're actually kidding. So I think Jim is probably bearing a lot of, you're so intense and why do you hate everybody and why do you hate fun? And I think he's having to deal with that and I think he's a good person to go to for help with that.
Yeah. So good for Jim. So happy to hear that Jim is helping out the other teams after the race.
Yeah. I mean, even post race, he's still giving everybody a helping hand. And I gotta like Jim and Misty for that alone.
Okay, so the teams arrived in Sicily, and then they had to take a car out to get to, was it Via Costanza?
Via Costanza.
Yes. Costanza. Or is it Via Can't Stanja?
Maybe so. I was waiting for them to have to put on like Nutria hats.
Now, was that before you mean rat hats?
Yeah, rat hats.
Yeah. So was that before or after they had to do come back in the morning and dance the night away?
I think that was the place that they were directed to go to the next morning.
Okay. So Via Costanza was where they had to go from there.
Yes.
Okay.
So the first thing they did was like pick up their tambourine, and then they had to dance all night, and I'm sure they were very tired, but then they got to go to the Via Costanza.
I mean, did they have to literally dance all night, or was it just like, oh, dance the night away, just like as an expression?
Well, I'm going to say they probably got to take at least some breaks, but it's funnier if you just picture them
like, can we stop dancing? Like, no, no. The clue says dance all night. You have to.
Yeah. They need like the pencils down guy to yell at them to keep dancing.
Keep dancing. Keep dancing. All right. So they had to go to Via Can't Stand You. Coincidentally enough, that's very much front of mind for me. Because on my Seinfeld recap podcast on Post Show Recaps, the episode that Akiva and I recap this week is The Library. So we recorded that show. And I'm going to post it over the weekend. So big Can't Stand You episode.
Excellent.
Yes. All right.
Actually, right before the Amazing Race started, they were showing a Seinfeld rerun, and it was the one with the Spongeworthy. So
yes.
I'm up into Seinfeld now as well. It's been 15 years.
Yeah, it's very fun to go back and watch those. And so, on Post Show Recaps, we're doing the episode rewatch, the entire series rewatch 1 week at a time. So very funny to get a Costanza reference here on The Amazing Race. Okay, so interestingly, Jim and Misty and the cyclist were sort of working together. They were sharing a ride and they were bonding. But when it came time to finding taxis, which was a challenge for a lot of these teams to get to the detour. So get to the roadblock, right? They had to find these cabs, and it was tough to hail them. And the dentist, Jim specifically, didn't want to share a cab with Kim and Allie. What did you think of this move, Jess? Did you think that this is a good idea to say, let's get our own cabs? Or when you're playing well with the other teams, do you want to keep playing well?
Well, I think it depends on how much, you know, how much of a lead you have. Like the night before, it made perfect sense for everybody to split a cab and work together because they had a 40-minute lead on the other four teams. And it didn't matter what they did. It was going to be, you know, neither one of them was going home. So at that point, it made perfect sense. But on something like this, they only have like maybe 15 to 20 minutes at most on the team in the very back of the pack. Everybody is so close together at this point that you really can't slow down to collude with anybody else because, you know, you make one mistake, that cab goes the wrong way. All of a sudden you are far behind everybody else with this one other team.
Yeah.
So I think it's not smart when there's a threat. If there's any possibility that you might end up in the back of the pack, don't work with anybody else.
But for the two teams though, at the top of the pack though.
If they're far enough at the top of the pack, then they should do it as much as possible. But if they're, you know, if they can see the other teams, don't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
And they could basically see the other teams.
Now, this is really where Amy and Maya, Brooke and Robbie, Tim and TJ, and Adam and Bethany all had trouble with hailing the cab.
Yeah, it seemed like there was one particular place you had to be to get the cabs, and nobody was at it.
Yeah. And they really struggled. Robbie and Brooke in particular, they lost like 40 minutes here.
Yeah, that seems kind of insane to me, especially since they ended up pretty much catching up to everybody.
Okay. Now the next part of the show, this is the roadblock here, right? So they need to go go-kart racing. And this was a pretty impressive challenge for me. I mean, compared to some of the stuff we saw in Amazing Race 24, like where they had to, what were some of the low lights from last season? Make the bed in a hotel room. They had
race the remote control toy horses.
Yes. I mean, compare to the remote control car racing we saw last season. Now, this is how you do car racing on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, Exactly. This is, if you can't drive a real car, this is the best facsimile.
Yeah, this was like real life Mario Kart tonight.
Yeah, and it looked like it was probably fairly dangerous.
Yeah, it looked very dangerous.
The guardrails were all that sturdy.
Yeah, I mean, is this like some sort of like closed off course? Because I was just imagining, like, what if there's like a car coming from the other way?
Yeah, I'm guessing they probably closed the road for that, but...
Oh my God. I mean, really,
yeah, someone could be at the top of there throwing turtle shells and banana peels.
Yeah. Yeah. or a thunderbolt or could shrink you down into mini gym.
Hey, that's terrifying.
Hey, watch out for me. You know what I'm talking about? When they turn you into babies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just picturing like all you see is this blinding white glow coming from somewhere close to the ground.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
It's mini Jim.
Yeah, but I really like that part of the episode when it was Jim versus Kim, right, in the go-karts?
Yep.
And that
got cutthroat, man.
It got cutthroat because, you know, Jim was driving his go-kart and Kim is just like, I'm coming to get you. 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 Like, it was really funny.
Yeah, it was almost like they were in last place and they were fighting not to get eliminated.
Yeah. Kim and Allie are very funny, for the record.
Oh yeah, they're hilarious. And I loved that everybody was making car noises in their confessionals as they were describing this.
Yeah. It was a lot of like gear shifting as well.
Yeah.
It's very good. Very good. I really like this challenge. Very fun.
Yeah, it was one that looked like it was both fun to do and fun to watch. And you just know that everybody that didn't get to do it was sitting there thinking, man, I should have done this one.
Yeah. Everybody had a pretty good experience with it. It looked like Maya was the only person that failed. Did anybody else fail it at all?
No, it seems like everybody else passed. It's almost like if you have someone else with you, it pushes you to go harder.
Yeah.
So if you're doing it by yourself, like you don't have any sense of what what anybody else would be doing or how fast they'd be going.
Yeah.
But if you have other people with you, you want to beat them.
It's like that time in Mario Kart where you have like the person who has like the best time and you could race against that person.
Sure.
The ghost of that person. Yeah. So
the plot of Mario Kart is really dark.
Yeah. Why?
There's like ghost racers and you can like mess with the laws of physics and shrink people down and throw things at people to make them mess up.
Sure, it's very intense.
Yeah, it is.
Very intense. If you could be any Amazing Race Mario Kart player, who would you be? Who would you select?
Well, are we Mario Kart players driving the cars or are we Amazing Racers driving the cars?
You're Amazing Race people in the Nintendo version of the Amazing Race Mario Kart.
Okay, you gotta be Jim.
No, because he's like the Donkey Kong that he's like, you know, his car takes a really long time to accelerate. I would be like TJ that would be just like really like quick and fast.
I don't know, it's kind of like picking Blanca when you're playing Street Fighter. Like, that's what I always go for. It's the same thing. Like I want Jim car.
Yeah, but like the TJ car, it like really like on the turns, it really like flies all mm-hmm. over the place, whereas the Jim car is much more steady on the turns, but doesn't really accelerate that much.
Yeah, well, it doesn't need to accelerate if it's up to the speed it needs to be.
I guess so. All right. So after we had all of the go-karts, we had to go to our detour here. And it's time to play Painters or Posers. So, Jess, I really love the Painters or Posers.
So would John Fincher be choosing the Posers task?
John Fincher would be a painter, right?
John Fincher is a poser.
I was right.
He's a painter, right?
I don't think so.
Are you sure? Are you sure about that?
Ask Jeff.
No, he's a painter.
Ask
John
Jeff.
Fincher is a poser.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's what he says. Interestingly, so when they have these detours, Jess, where it's like only four people can do this, does it make it like, oh, we better go there and do it because it'll be better? Because it feels like just like if there was something where it was like, oh, we've only got, you know, four spots available for this, like, oh, that must be the good one. But I felt like the posers was actually an easier challenge.
It did seem like it. And I think it's one of those situations where last season they had a challenge like this with there was Mixmaster. Elephants, and there was a task with poop, and it turned out the elephant task was way, way faster. But, and I think anybody that watched last season would be like, well, we want to take the one that has the limited number of people, because clearly that one's going to get us through faster. Otherwise, the other one's like a penalty for not getting there soon enough. But they pulled that whole classic Sicilian switcheroo there.
Yes, yes. The old...
You know, you never trust a Sicilian when death is on the line, right?
Yeah, that would be inconceivable if you were to do that. But Jess, I'm also thinking from last season where they had the thing where it was, I forget where they were on Amazing Race 24, but they were at the nightclub and it was either Mix Master or Master Mix where they had to pour the drinks. And that was where Luke like threw the glasses on the ground. And then there was like four DJ stations. And so so you could only have four people being, but the thing was that they were like right next to each other. So if it was full at the DJ station, you could go try to pour the drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think my instinct would be if I knew there was at least one team in front of me, I'd go to the one that I knew I could definitely get started on right away if I couldn't see them from each other.
Yeah. And so while painters probably sounded more fun, I definitely think that posers was the way to go. So while the first two teams to get through, Jim and Misty, and then Kim and Allie, they all went for painters. So they had two of the spots on painting. Then the other four teams were all racing at the same time. What'd you think of Brooke when she was getting ready to race?
I loved Brooke in the helmet. That was fantastic.
Wasn't she funny when she was like talking trash to everybody like before the race started? Yeah. But then she backed it up.
She's a professional wrestler. That's how you do.
She's not a professional racer though.
No, but it's the same skill set. It's like you got to get up there and like talk some bravado at people and, you know, make them understand that you're going to beat them, and then you beat them.
Yeah,
that's how professional wrestlers roll.
Yeah, and then she just like took off. That's like when you have like hit the turbo at the right moment, like right when the race starts in Mario Kart, it's like boom, and she was gone.
You know, maybe we're going about this all wrong. Maybe we want to be in the Brooke car.
Oh, the Brooke car. That's like, what is that, like the peach car?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Who's the Waluigi?
Who's the Waluigi?
Waluigi? I think that Keith and Whitney, I think that's the Waluigi. He looks like a real Waluigi.
I'll buy that for a quarter.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And so this was very funny. All the teams going back and forth. Adam was cutting off Tim and TJ. I thought, though, that it was really awkward. Like, the teams, like, they had to just, like, sit in a car with, like, somebody else that was driving, like, some of these, like, classic cars around. Right? They didn't have to do anything. They just had to sit in the car.
Yeah, and they had to make conversation with the driver. Yeah, they had to
make small talk. Who do you think had the most awkward small talk with the driver?
Oh, gosh. Well, who was the one that was, like, yeah, so this is your car, huh?
I think it was Adam.
Cool. Yeah, it was Adam. He's like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, so what do you do around here? You go to like a nice weather today, right? Right? Busy day? Amazing race, huh? You ever see the movie Soul Surfer? You know that girl? Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, so when we get to the other teams filling out the detour spots, we get a race to the detour because three out of the other four teams are all trying to race for painters. And we have Tim and TJ and Adam and Bethany, and then also Sweet Scientist trying to get in a painting.
Now, something just occurred to me. I wonder if that painting task was much closer to them than the opera task. Like, maybe the opera task was further away.
Yeah. Or maybe they were afraid of being labeled a poser.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can be labeled.
Because that sticks, I think.
John Fincher is a poser.
Yeah, I'm given to understand that once someone calls you a poser, like, nobody ever lets that go.
It's hard to come back from that. Yeah. But anyway, so... All right, so the teams had to do the painting, and it really did seem like the painting task was very hard because, one, you were being judged. Two, It looked like it was hard to do. Three, you had to do it like while you were on your back, and it was like the paint was like dripping on you. It was tight quarters. It was hot up there. So it just seemed like it was pretty brutal conditions.
Yeah, it sure seemed like Jim was once again disregarding his own advice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Here's something that you're going to have to get judged on, and someone's going to have to determine whether or not you did it right.
Yeah, but
whereas the other one,
his advice was, though, he would always rather do the physical task. And I think that if you were talking about painters or posers, I think you would think that painting is the physical task.
Yeah, based on the instructions you were given, I guess that's a fair guess.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really fault Jim for wanting to go with the painting task here based on the descriptions.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah. All right. So Brooke and Robbie ended up starting at the opera thing, and then they were almost going to, they didn't try to go to painters, but then they were like, took one look at posers and they're like, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. We're not, this is too hard.
Yeah. And admittedly, if you're not sure exactly what it's going to look like, it might seem like it was pretty hard. Like, I didn't understand a word they were saying either.
But I feel like that's their fatal flaw. They like psych themselves out of things. It's like they like look at a test like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. We can't do this. This is too hard. We can't do it. We can't do it. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. You know, I can't. I can't. I can't. You know,
yeah.
How many times have we seen that this season?
Yeah, they are a little bit defeatist. I have to give you that.
Yeah. It's like, do they step into the wrestling ring and be like, oh, my God, I can't win this match tonight. I'm going to lose this match. I know. It's like, I know ahead of time I'm going to lose this match. I know, definitely.
Well,
I'm not going to win this match.
You do kind of know ahead of time whether or not you're going to win a wrestling
How?
Match.
How would they know that?
That's just a guess.
What are you implying, Jess?
I'm implying nothing. Please don't send any wrestlers after me.
It was real to me. It was real to me.
Real to you, damn it.
So Amy and Maya and Brooke and Robbie are both working on this. And there's a point where they're talking about working with each other. And it's real. We see it from Brooke and Robbie's perspective about whether or not they should try to work together. And they say, no, do not work with them.
Yeah, but they reconsider.
Later on, they reconsider. Yes. And so I want to know your take on both sides of this. First, deciding not to work together, then ultimately deciding to work together. Was it something that they should have done ahead of time, or something that they should have never done at all?
Well, I think at first it makes perfect sense not to want to work with someone because they know that they've lost some time already on the people that were doing the painting. They know where everybody is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that this task would take a long time, and if they end up working together, they're definitely knocking themselves to the back of the pack. But I think as soon as they figured out how close they were to being done and how much less time it's taking them, whatever they were doing at the painting, they realize they can probably make up some time on everybody else if they just work together and knock it out very quickly, because they were both like 90% of the way there when they decided to work together.
Yeah, it was an interesting dilemma because there were four teams that were working on the other task, but the two teams that were working on the separate task, they both could have really helped each other. That I think as soon as they get there, is this a prisoner's dilemma, Jess?
Kind of. It kind of is. I think it was probably okay for them not to make that decision until they had some idea of how long it was going to take.
Yeah. So, but once they decide to cooperate, it ended up being an advantage for both of them because they end up finishing 3 and 4 tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And this is one of those kinds of tasks where it is to your benefit to work together because you only have to come up with one set of answers. Anything that involves counting something and you all have to count the same thing. Or like the task 2 seasons ago where they had the giant compass and they had to measure the distances and add them together. Those are the kinds of things you need to work together on because there's no downside to, like, you're not losing time on your own task if you're helping somebody else.
Okay. So Jim and Misty are the first ones to finish the painting challenge. There was a lot of fun to be had with the painting of the nipples tonight.
Yeah, there was
a lot of good nipple talk
tonight. With the nipples.
A lot of good nipple talk. Jim and Misty felt like they had.
There's no such thing as bad nipple talk.
Whoa. Is that in the JL rules?
That's in the JL rules.
Yeah. There is, if it's in your workplace, I think that's probably the bad nipple talk.
Depends on what you do for a living.
I guess so. If it's the thing that gets you slapped with a harassment suit, that's probably the bad nipple talk. But that being said, outside of, you know, anything that's going to require litigation, lots of fun nipple talk in this episode. Jim and Misty had an advantage because they're used to working with half a millimeter of margin for error.
Yeah, they are precision and tiny tasks. That's their wheelhouse.
Yes. Bleaching the painting they had a lot of experience with that.
Just like putting on a set of veneers.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so it was neck and neck that the dentist ends up finishing before the cyclist. They end up making it to the mat first ahead of the cyclist. And in leg number 300, Jim and Misty are your team number one.
Yay, Jim and Misty, and they get to go to Jamaica.
They get to go to Jamaica. How about that?
That's their worst places to go.
Jess, no animals tonight at the pit stop.
No, I didn't actually see any animals anywhere.
So what does this mean?
Maybe this isn't the memory task.
Maybe not. And then very quickly after Jim and Misty comes in, here comes Kim and Allie. And I really set up for another 1-2 finish.
Yeah, I think it is going to be one of those things where they're going to pretty much always be way up at the front.
Yeah. Interestingly, I liked the fighting between Kim and Allie over the lefty-righty business.
Yeah, that's something that I struggle with a lot when it comes to my family. But thankfully, I am a left-handed person married to another left-handed person, so this is not something that comes up at home.
Yes. Why? What kind of issues are we not thinking about?
Well, sitting around a dinner table, anytime a left-handed person sits next to someone who is right-handed, you end up like bumping into them all the time.
Oh.
Like, the world is not designed for left-handed people.
I know. This is definitely an issue. Now, just as a left-handed person, is it like, is that a thing? Do you want to try to date other left-handed people when you were going through the your courtship with Mr. Jess? Is that like when you're dating somebody, like, oh, you meet a guy and it's like, and he's left-handed?
It's absolutely a plus. Yes.
Interesting. Is it a turn off? I mean, as a right-handed person, if I met a woman who was left-handed, I don't think it would be a turn off.
No, but in fact, it should always be a turn on to find a left-handed person because they're always more creative and they've had to work around a world that is not built for them. So they're much more able to think on their feet and more versatile and everything.
Yeah. Do we know this right-handed, left-handed proclivity with any of the other Amazing Race teams? What about Tim and TJ?
Tim and TJ looked like they were both using the same hand. I don't think anybody but Kim and Allie were having an issue with it, at least.
Adam and Bethany?
Adam and Bethany. Bethany is definitely right-handed.
Right-handed. Okay. All right. Good to know. Let's go to our next part of the race. And we have Tim and TJ beginning to really struggle with the painting.
Yeah, it was one of those times you kind of wish that Phil did go in for the like Jeff Probst narration.
Yeah, they were struggling that it was too thick. Big problems.
Yeah, the line was too big and it was a giant. Yeah, it was starting to look like that Jesus in Spain, the old lady.
Yeah. So ultimately, Adam and Bethany, I have to give them credit also. Last week we were talking about, you know, what a badass Bethany is, but they're never panicked. Like, I know that they surf and there's sharks. And I guess once a shark bites your arm off, very little panics you, but they're never rattled at all.
No, nothing gets to them. But, you know, we've talked about that before.
Yeah. Nothing ever. They're just like laughing. Like, really, me and my wife, like if we were like we could be going through the supermarket and not even on The Amazing Race, and it's like tension and ban at each other. Like, I can't even imagine being going through one of these tests, and they're just like having such a great time.
Yeah, well, maybe you guys need to go surfing more.
I guess so. All right, so then bringing up the rear, Tim and TJ. This is a little bit of a question. Is it going to be Adam and Bethany or Tim and TJ? But I think that for me, there was no drama whatsoever, because if Adam and Bethany were going to be coming in last, I think we definitely would have seen that a lot more in the edit.
Yeah, like usually you get some backstory from the team that is coming in last. I'm kind of surprised we didn't see more of Tim and TJ, actually, but we would have definitely revisited the whole, you know, sad music in the background. You know, when the shark bit my arm off, it was really sad and I had a hard time coming back from that, but I've learned so much, and I've learned so much from being on the race, and I feel so much closer to my husband. And then they get non-eliminated.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to open it up to your questions here, but Jess, I have a new segment that I want to try out on the Amazing Race wrap up show.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. So what I tried to do, and again, it's a quick turnaround because we do these shows live, but we do it on Survivor, and we've had so much success. People really love it when we pull some sound clips from Survivor. So I have some clips from tonight's episode of The Amazing Race.
Do you?
I do. All right. So first off, Tim and TJ, they are going to, they vowed to be back with a vengeance next week, but I'm not exactly sure what they're trying to say. Can you decipher what Tim and TJ are telling us here?
TNT, our dynamite may have had a short fuse, but we're ready to explode and rock on.
All right. The dynamite had a short fuse. They're ready to explode and rock on.
But the short fuse means they already did explode. And if they've exploded already, how can they continue to rock? Like, dynamite's kind of a one-shot thing.
TNT, our dynamite may have had a short fuse, but we're ready to explode and rock on.
Now, all not good things. Short fuse, the dynamite's already exploded. That's typically
on is okay.
Typically not a recipe for rocking on. Once the dynamite's already exploded and with a short fuse on top of that, not a recipe for rocking on.
Yeah, no, nothing is sadder than pre-exploded dynamite.
With a short fuse, no less.
With a short fuse, no less.
Okay. This was something that I believe Misty said tonight. This was something that I could relate to. She was struggling during the painting challenge tonight.
I'm working a muscle in my arm I didn't even know existed.
She's working muscles in her arm she didn't even know existed.
She going to need to get Tommy John surgery after this?
Maybe. Oh my God. All right. So this was a odd threat, I thought, that Jim made at the mat. He talked about how four times they've come in first place and they're on the verge of five. So he made a very interesting threat to Kim and Allie tonight.
Well, watch out for the thumb. It's coming soon.
Whoa.
Watch out for the what?
He said, watch out for the thumb. It's coming soon.
But watch out for the thumb. It's coming soon.
Yeah.
Watch. There's the eyes and the teeth and the thumb. This guy's a triple threat.
Watch out for the thumb. And one other clip I really liked from tonight. You know, we had so much fun in the Survivor podcast last season with Tony's llama noises. Yeah. So to add to that, I present to you, Jess, here is Robbie's opera singing. What do you think?
You know, next to the llama, that actually, you know, somebody needs to do a mashup of this.
Yeah, and here's Robbie's impression of what the opera sounded like to him. He's like a seal.
Opera say. I like how there's actual opera in the background of this.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. That could be a good ringtone.
Can that be the next button on the Rob Has an App?
Well, you need.
I need to be able to do that frequently.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Watch out. Watch out for the thumb after you hit that button too much.
No kidding. Watch I'm going to wear out my thumb hitting that button.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and let's get to your questions here tonight on the Amazing Race for Hap Up show here Friday nights. Coming at you, ready to go. Here we go, Jess. Question number one. George Wise says, do you like it when there's a limit on the number of teams that can perform a specific side of the detour?
I do not like it, George Wise.
Yeah. Because you could count when there's four, you could count one on each finger. But then
the thumb comes into play.
Yeah, you have to watch out.
But watch out for the thumb. It's coming soon.
It's coming soon.
Coming soon to what?
We don't know. I mean, I kind of like it that there's sort of like a forced urgency, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think of thumb as the most urgent body part, to be honest.
It's urgent. It's good for hailing the cab, I think, too. JJ Rules.
I gotta rethink that.
Do you think we'll see more of Robbie getting hungry or Tyson's trip to the bathroom?
This is an Amazing Race Australia versus New Zealand.
I was going to say, are we talking about Tyson going to the bathroom from the 1000th Rob as a podcast episode?
No, but we could just add that to the master total of Tyson going to the bathroom. But
Tysoning.
There was a racer who was like a very built, goofy guy with 7.5 abs in Australia, whose name was Tyson. And every shot you saw of him, he was either drinking water or looking for a bathroom.
Okay.
And sometimes he'd just like stop in the middle of the course, be like, yep, be right back, gotta pee. Or he'd just like, start going right in the middle of the path. And this is kind of like Robbie's running joke with, can I eat that? Is that food? Where's the food? I'm hungry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's the same thing.
All right, let's go to Dominic Pell, who says, do you like the addition of having the language barrier on the painter task? Yes, the instructor was giving them notes in Italian.
Yeah, but I thought, the great thing about the Italian language is it's kind of expressive. It seemed like you could probably glean from the context what you needed to do differently.
Yeah, some of the things, though, were difficult, where she's talking like, where she said like, pulito, like, clean it up in the subtitles. And so I think that's sort of like a tough thing to sort of like I know they're like expressive, but some of those things were kind of detailed notes to get in Italian.
Yeah, frankly, I do not know the Italian word for nipples.
Somebody, we'll look that up on Google Translate. Hey, Siri. How do you say nipple in Italian? Oh, okay. It doesn't work that good.
Oh, man. That's so fun.
Joe Pelega wants to say, can you see the sweet scientists sleepwalking their way to a final three appearance? Well, all right. Well, speaking of that, Jess, tell me about the Beekman Boys commercial that happened.
Oh, yeah. Here in New York, the Beekman Boys are doing a Time Warner business ad, and it's on all the time. Like, literally, they're on my television more than they were when they were on The Amazing Race.
Is that a shot, Jess?
It's not a shot.
Okay.
I love the Beekman Boys. Like, they weren't fantastic racers, but they are fantastic people. And I love their other show very much. And I think their cookbooks are amazing. So I'm happy whenever they're on my television.
Okay. Scott St. Pierre who's faster than Siri. Capizzolo. He's going to go with for Italian for nipple.
Okay. Can that be the hashtag? I know it's early to determine a hashtag, but.
Well, for all of the people in Italy, I think that they were going to come off very pervy.
No, the people in Italy know, they're comfortable with their nipples.
Yeah. And they might all be out at the opera on a Friday night. Yeah. Okay. Let's take another one. Nick 2S. That's a question. Was this one of the more deceptively difficult detours for painting and one of the more deceptively easy other choices for the opera?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Like I was, we've had other opera tasks that were much, much harder. And this seemed like it was pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah. Seemed pretty easy. They didn't have to sing or anything like that. This was one of the probably the easiest challenges that we've had this season, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty easy. Okay. This is from Survivor fan Sean. Survivor fan Sean said, wasn't the non-elimination foreshadowed by the cyclist in the beginning? Also, will the save be used? Now, what did the cyclist say that foreshadowed the non-elimination?
I'm not sure what that was that they said. I was already had it in my head that it was going to be non-elimination, so I'm not sure that I necessarily was watching out for somebody to point it out to me.
Okay. So in terms of the save, you think the save will get used?
Probably not. I think Jim and Misty had their one bad leg, and that's pretty much all they're going to do.
How long does the save last until? When does that expire?
Leg 8. So if they don't use it next week, it's not getting used.
Okay. Oh, wow. So we are really at the expiration date.
Yep.
Okay. All right. This is from the original Donald, who said, which one of the have-nots, Sweet Scientist Team Bro and T and TJ, have the best shot of being in the final three? Now, who's Team Bro?
I don't know who Team Bro is. he might mean the wrestlers, maybe?
The wrestlers are Team Bro?
Well, I'm just like process of elimination. Who would I call a have-not? They're definitely kind of the bottom three.
Okay. The team bro, is that like short for Brooke?
Brooke and Robbie, B for Brooke.
Because, yeah, I guess so. Because
I get it. Brooke, Robbie, B-R-O. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Team bro.
Okay.
That's not sanctioned. That is not a sanctioned hashtag.
There's several leaps in logic I got to make to get to that point. So,
okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So what was the question? Most likely to what out of those have nots?
Which one's most likely to sneak into the final three?
Sneak into the final three. Who you got?
You know, my heart is saying Brooke and Robbie. My head is saying Tim and TJ.
I think I want to agree with that. Yeah, I'm not particularly bullish on the Sweet Scientists.
We haven't seen enough of them.
Yeah, they've been a little bit under the radar. A little bit under.
I mean, whenever I see of them, I like, but there's just like half the time I forget they're there.
Yeah. Let's get AJ Mass on the line. Who's the ninja this season? Who's the marriage of convenience? I think it's Jim and Misty.
No, we are at the point where there are 12 players left.
Yeah, but that'd be tough to do.
That'd be really tough to do.
Just there's something that I was thinking about earlier today is the episode title. Is there any significance to who gets the episode title? Now, tonight's episode was entitled Pretty Fly for a Sweet Scientist. To me, and this is a theory that I had, and you tell me if it's right or not, the person who says the title of the episode, it has immunity for that episode. So when I hear Pretty Fly for a Sweet Scientist, I know that the Sweet Scientist, whoever says it, they're going to say it and they'll be safe. What do you think?
Without looking.
Yeah. Let me give you the episode titles for this season. And
yes,
then you tell,
do.
And then let's see if we can match it up. Cause I think it's sort of an interesting thing to look at. Okay. So Amazing Race. I would have gone with a different quote, for this episode. I think you could have gone with, how do you spell that?
I don't know. I have to ask the Puffin, I think.
The Puffin?
Puffin probably knows how to spell that.
Okay. Let's see. So here is, let's see who said what. We had a couple, Go Big or Go Home.
That was Jim.
Jim.
Right?
Okay. They were safe in week one. When You Gotta Go, You Gotta Go. That was Shelly and Niecy.
Yep, it certainly was.
They were safe. Get Your Sheep Together.
Get Your Sheep Together.
I think that was actually the name of the task.
Yeah, that was the name of the task. And so, of course, the name of the task is by definition immune.
Yeah. Thinly sliced anchovies.
That was also in the task, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was Robbie.
That was one of the ingredients. I think they all said it in the sandwich. Moroccan roll. That was Tim and TJ, I feel like, said that.
Yep, that was Tim and TJ.
They were safe. I feel like I just kissed a goat.
That was Robbie.
Yes, and they were safe. Pretty fly for a food scientist. Okay, so far it holds true. If you get the episode title, you're safe.
Yeah, we need one of our analytics guys on this. Like, I need Kevin or Logan to go back through all the episode titles and tell us if this is true most of the time.
Okay, let us know. Let us know. Okay, let's do some more questions. Mike, give it up for the great Mike Bloom. We've only seen Kim and Allie's impressions of Jim and Misty on the race. Do you think the other teams have the same thoughts of them being too intense and serious? So what do you think? Are Kim and Allie alone on an island on their feelings about Jim and Misty?
Absolutely not. In fact, I don't watch all the bonus clips every week, usually because I'm like doing Amazing Race things for like the 3.5 hours after I watch the show every week. But I did happen to watch Keith and Whitney's bonus clips on the week that they got kicked out. Keith did a spot on Jim impression.
Keith does impressions?
Keith does impressions. Well, he does one impression, and it's Jim. It's really great.
Okay. Interesting. Very good.
So I think everybody's kind of working up a Jim impression at this point.
Yeah.
Including us.
Yeah. I really don't have a voice down for Jim.
No, I've got the expression though.
Yeah. Like we got the Jim eyes going, but not the Jim voice. Samantha Mann says, if you were the surfers, would you have used the express pass when it was just the two teams left? Interesting.
Yeah, that's a time to do it, but they were pretty close to being done. And I think they probably figured they could beat Tim and TJ in a foot race.
Yeah, I think so. I think they felt good. They don't panic, these soul surfers.
They're not going to burn that express pass, rashly.
Yeah. Ironically, the last team to go home with the express pass did so when they were looking for surfboards.
Yeah, that would have been a good time to use it.
Yeah. We'll see if the soul surfers make that same mistake.
The soul surfers would never use an express pass on a task that involved looking for surfboards. So, maybe this is a problem.
All right. JJ rules. Until what leg does a soul surfer have to use the express pass? Is that the same as the save?
I think it's the same as the save. It's either next time or the time after.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Let's go to Jer Martin, who says, would you rather hear Brooke say, I don't get it, 30 seconds into a challenge, or Robbie say, I'm hungry, 30 seconds into a challenge?
Yeah, why choose? They're probably both going to happen.
Yeah, or would you rather hear Robbie say this?
That wins. That wins every time.
Okay, let's go to another one from Jer Survivor Fan. Says, should Robbie E. Impact get an offer by Jeff Probst in a future leg where he can trade everything he has for some food? How well would Robbie trade for food?
I don't know, maybe his backpack.
Trade his backpack? Sure.
Sure, like they used to have to trade, like if people got stuck on a non-elimination leg, they used to have to give up all their luggage and all their money and everything.
Yeah. And he would trade everything for some food.
Right.
Why not? Why not? What about some trail mix? We trade for trail mix?
It depends on whether or not it's been in the bottom of a bag with some dirty underwear.
Dirty underwear nuts. That's right. Okay. Sarah Freeman. Great Sarah Freeman says, suddenly really glad that my husband plays Mario Kart with my kids, so I actually get all these references. Yes. Good.
Yeah, all these references by people that have definitely played Mario Kart at some point in the last 10 years.
Yes.
That's definitely something that happened.
Why, Jess, are you saying that you do play Mario Kart or you don't play Mario Kart?
I haven't in a long time. So yeah. I had to think back.
Okay. Yeah, but you know what we're talking about.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm not playing a lot of Mario Kart these days.
No, you've got a young son to train in the ways of podcasting.
Yeah. This is from Joe. Joe says, the dentists are making it look easy. Do you see anyone besides the cyclists challenging them? I don't know if they're making it look easy. They look like they're just giving 110% right now.
Yeah, I mean, they are breaking a sweat.
Yeah, they're breaking a sweat.
Or glitter in some ways, or sparkle, that's what it was.
I mean, even poor Misty is working all these muscles.
I'm working a muscle in my arm I didn't even know existed.
Was that Misty?
It might have been Jim. I don't know. It
might have been Jim. So was that Keith? Was that Keith? Oh, my God. Working a muscle in my arm I didn't even know existed. Samantha Mann says, is anyone else annoyed when they show the globe at the end of the show? It's spinning the wrong way, and it focuses on an area of the world that they have visited rarely. Only Panama and Costa Rica. Jess, I feel like this is something that might tick you off.
I haven't really thought about it, but that's probably fair.
That the globe is spinning the wrong way?
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. Has Superman spun the world around the opposite direction and time is going backwards?
That is possibly what's going on. Or maybe that's just like wishful thinking. Like the show is over now, so you wish that it was going backwards so it would not be the end of the show.
Yeah. Probably. All right, let's see one more question. Mr. Air Sonic says, has this been the best of the most recent seasons of Amazing Race? It has an old Amazing Race feel about it. Instead of like the 25th season, it's like the 16th or something with new music. Does this feel like the 16th season of the Amazing Race to you?
It almost feels like the 5th or 6th.
Oh, is it the Friday night bump?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's just the like, we are so sorry we made you all sit through season 24 bump.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, that's very, very fun. So now, do you think that the race will lose momentum not being on next week? Or do you think that people will just pick back up next week?
You know, if I was just a casual viewer, I'd probably be pretty sad that there was nothing to do on my Friday night.
Yes. But because you're so into the Amazing Race that this is like you're like a teacher and this is like a summer break.
Kind of. Or it's even just like, you know, that one odd holiday in the middle of the week, like. It's like my Veterans Day.
Your Veterans Day. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. All right. So, Jess, what's coming up in your blog this week?
What's coming up in my blog this week? I'm guessing I'm going to talk a little bit about working together on tasks. And I think I'm probably going to have to use the word nipples a few times.
Okay. All right. So, bringing in the ratings on the blog.
Well, someone's gotta. You know, the podcast is a family podcast. You never put any such directives down for the blog.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Some adult blogging coming this week from Jessica in her most popular Amazing Race blog to date.
It's Blogging After Dark.
Blogging After Dark. That's right. All right. So we had wrapped up a very, very fun week on the podcast this week. Of course, we had the 1000th podcast. We talked about Survivor with Stephen Fishback on Survivor Know-It-Alls like we always do. We had our exit interview, and then we had a really, really fun podcast this past Thursday. Posted it this morning with the great Parvati Shallow and got into your voicemails on Rob Has a Podcast with Josh Wiggler. So that was a very, very fun show. We're planning a lot more coming this weekend as well. I am going to have some podcasts for you early next week. Going to get into a lot of people have been asking for this, Jess. People want some closure on the Great Utopia, Jess. I know you were very devastated.
Well, I'm still living in denial that it's gone.
Yeah. So to make up for no exit interviews, so we're gonna have some time to be able to dedicate to the closure of Utopia. It was a brand new start. Now it's an ending. And so God rest his soul. And Kurt Clark and I are going to get into mourning for Utopia this upcoming week. And then also, I didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I have been kicking myself and trying to find a moment for it. But I'll also get into assessing this new cast of The Celebrity Apprentice early next week.
Ooh, yes. That's coming up, huh?
And I'll be speaking with your friend and mine, Mike Bloom, and we'll talk about that. So we'll have some Utopia closure. We will have some Celebrity Apprentice assessment with one eye looking forward, one eye looking backwards as we kick off the start of next week. Yeah.
That's got to hurt.
Yeah, we always keep one. Yeah,
I do not have a racer podcast this weekend.
Yes, but did have a great one this past week, if anybody missed it.
Yes, I did. I talked to Team Guido this past weekend, and while I do not have a racer podcast this weekend, I have a racer interview for reasons that will become clear once you know who I'm going to be talking to. I have not set up the exact time, but sometime in the next couple of days, I'm going to be touching base with three-time racer, Amazing Race super fan, and good friend of Rob has a website, Mr. Luke Adams. So we're going to be doing that via chat, and it's going to be a lot of fun. He's really looking forward to catching up with us and giving us all his opinions on Amazing Race 25. And believe me, he's got a lot of them.
That's really great. And so you can catch that on robinswebsite.com or by following Jess on Twitter. She is at Haymaker Hattie. That's Haymaker, H-A-T-T-I-E, Haymaker Hattie on Twitter. Jess, I mentioned it last week, but there's only a couple days left to get in on this. If you want to get a month free on the new CBS All Access app where you can watch every season of The Amazing Race, you can get that at robhasawebsite.com/CBS app. And up until the 15th, they have a special promo code of 1 month free on the new app. It's 1M free. That's 1M free. So M as in Misty, 1M free. So you can check that out. Use that promo code through the 15th to get a month free on the new CBS app. And you could watch all the seasons of The Amazing Race, plus all the seasons of Big Brother and all the seasons of Survivor, plus all the other stuff that they have on the CBS. So very, very fun night talking to you, Jess. Yeah. Do you want to go out and catch opera? People, yeah.
I definitely now want to go watch a lot of opera, but I think, are we going to tell people to tweet the hashtag Opera Llama?
Opera Llama. There you go. All right, let me see if I can do this. So okay, so let's do the mashup. Yeah, hey, that's an opera in itself.
It is. It's telling a really complicated story.
I like that. Opera Llama. All right. Let us know what you think in the comments. Jess and I always love to hear what you guys have to say. Also, check out if you're listening to the audio podcast. I want to give this person their due. This is the themes, the closing credits to the Amazing Race podcast. Stick around and listen to this. Jess and I have our own theme song written by, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this right, Callan Brunson. Yeah.
Who is fantastic. I love this song. Yes. It's really delightful.
Yes. So thanks again to Callan for the Amazing Race anthem here around the world with Rob and Jess. So take it away, Callan. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.